We're going to get started here. Usually on the second Monday, we have four 15-minute preachers of young preachers that really never have preached at camp meeting before. We'll only have two this morning. There were two young men that were to preach. One was from Ohio, Brother Ricky Kesey's son, but all of them were not able to come this year because Brother Ricky's wife's mother passed away. I think her funeral services are tomorrow. Brother Jeff Kesey was going to preach, and then Brother Aaron Chapman was to be here, but Brother Kevin Merritt, his father-in-law, Miss Amanda, is having trouble with breathing. She's going to a pulmonologist. You pray for her. She is doing better, but they weren't able to come. So we're going to have two 15-minute preachers this morning of young men that I don't think either one of them has ever preached at camp meeting before. And then we got something special right after them, but we're going to have some singing and some preaching here today. And you just open up your heart as the Lord leads. And I'm going to ask Brother Tommy Jones to come around. Brother Tommy pastors the Mount Carmel Baptist Church in Caldwell County. He is out of our church. We ordained him. I appreciate Brother Tommy and Miss Renee and their family. Thankful for how God has intervened for their youngest son's physical need of leukemia. God's touched him, and we're thankful for that. He's going to preach this morning 15 minutes for us. I want you to hear him gladly while he preaches. They'll run the light for you back there. I love you.
Love you. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Jonah, chapter number 1. Jonah, chapter number 1. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. Appreciate the goodness and mercies of the Lord. Appreciate what God has done in our life and for our family. Don't ever want to take it for granted of how the Lord has blessed and helped us. But as we read here out of the book of Jonah, a very familiar portion of Scripture, the Bible says in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. God, I pray, Lord, now in this next few moments of time, God, may we honor you, Lord, in everything that be said and done. God, we want to give you the glory this morning because, God, we know that, Lord, you're in control. And, God, we want to praise you this morning. And, Lord, we want to just magnify the glories of God. Lord, help us, God, today. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, for the touch, Lord, of the Holy Ghost. Lord, as we stand where a man cannot stand alone, help us, Lord, this day. God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. For just a few moments, I'm going to expound on several portions of this book of the Bible. But as the Lord has pressed in my heart a little over a year ago on a message, bent but not broken. Bent but not broken. We know the story of Jonah and how Jonah and the word of the Lord had came upon him to go down to Nineveh to preach and to share the gospel. But you know, there's a lot of times in our life, as just like Jonah did, we disobey God. We run from the Lord. We turn our back and say, Lord, we don't want to go there. We don't want to do that because, God, they're not worthy. And if we're all honest with ourselves, we're all in agreements with that. But let me tell you something. Jonah was at the point the Lord had spoke to Jonah's life to say, go and share the gospel with these folks because they need God just as much as we do. But you know what? Throughout, God called Jonah to go to Nineveh and cry out against it for their wicked ways. But you know, when God called Jonah to go and warn them, all his pride swelled up in him. For all of us, if we'd be honest with ourselves, our pride gets the best of us most of the time. But in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God's going to have his way whether you want to agree to it or not, whether you want to follow it or not. God liable to take you out of here if you, the next time you say, Lord, I don't want to go. But hey, Jonah was a man just like I am. He was fearful because he was scared of what they may do to him. This was a wicked city, a wicked town that nobody wanted to hear about God. But you know what? The three things the Lord gave me on this message was bent, twisted, but not broken. If you read the story of Jonah and how Jonah had fled from the presence of the Lord and went down and boarded the ship and went down into the belly of the ship, let me tell you something. When the Lord wants to bend you, you ain't got no choice. When things go wrong in your life, God will bend you. But you know what? When you get to bending down and the Lord keeps pressing on you, before you know it, you're on your knees and you're crying out to God and saying, Lord, help me. When the storm came in verses 3 through 7, that was a time the Lord began to bend Jonah's life. He went down and he thought he had done got away from God and said, Lord, I'm done. I'm not going to go. I'm safe. But God got a hold of him and God got his attention down into the bellies of that ship. The mariner or the captain of the ship went down and found Jonah fast asleep. And he woke him up and he said, and I'm paraphrasing right here, y'all follow along with me. But he said, why are you sleeping? We in the midst of a storm. What's going on? You need to get up and pray. But in the time of being bent, Jonah still waved it off. I can remember a time in our life, a little over a year and a half ago, God bent me. God broke me. When we found out on November the 2nd, 2021, that our son was diagnosed with leukemia, God got me to the place where he bent me. Pride had got in my life. I'd got away from some things in my life, but I ran from God. Didn't want no more. But you know what? God got me to the place, and Brother Steve, I called my pastor, talked with him several times on the phone, couldn't understand why God would allow these to happen, but he did. God had to get my attention. God had to get us to a place where we were bent. And I mean bent. We were on our knees before the Lord. We were crying out to God, saying, Lord, help us through this storm. But that wasn't Jonah's case. He knew what was in his heart. But God bent him. Number two, God had to twist him. What I mean by twist, if you've ever took a piece of paper and you've twisted that piece of paper to where there's no more and it's nothing more than just garbage and you throw it away, that word twisted means that very thing. But in Jonah's life, when the men found the storm or feared the storm and threw him off the ship because they found out that he was the reason why the storm had come up upon him. They had twisted him. The law, the world, and everything about him, his pride had swelled up in him, that they twisted him twisted his life to where there was no more. He said, I'm the reason. I'm the reason why you're in the storm. They feared the Lord. They grabbed Jonah. They throwed him off the ship. But you know what? That wasn't the end of Jonah's life. When the world wants to twist you up, when the world says there's no hope, God says you're not broken. I can still use you. You know what? In that fear of the storm, Jonah found himself treading water. But God had prepared a great fish to come and swallow up Jonah in the belly of the fish. You finish reading the book of Jonah, you find out in the belly of that fish, God got him to a place where he realized he may have been bent, he may have been twisted, but he was not yet broken. Chapter 2, 8 and 9, in the belly of the great fish, Jonah cried out to the Lord. He cried out to God and he confessed. He said, Lord, I'll go where you send me. I'll go. Wherever you take me, Lord, I'll go. How many of us today are in the belly of that fish, wanting God to do something in your life and in mine, wanting God to touch you and help you in your journey? But that's not the end of it. It took Jonah to surrender his life to God and to realize no matter how much he had been bent, no matter how much he had been twisted and the world had done cast him off, the people on the ship had done throwed him away, God was not done yet. I remember in November of 2021 when our little six-year-old little boy sitting right back there was there in the hospital room. Looked at him, he was frail. Couldn't lift his head up. Couldn't lift his arms up. Every time he'd lay down to sleep, he'd wake up in a pool of blood all over the bed. Night after night, day after day, God was working in our life. When the doctors came in, when he spent those 5.5 weeks in the NICU there in Levine's Children's Hospital, the doctors looked at us and said, there's no way he'll ever make it out of this. He had spent 5.5 weeks laying in a coma or unconscious there in the room. The doctors done x-ray after x-ray. His left lung had already collapsed. But they said, there's no hope. Even in the belly of the fish, God still heard Jonah's prayer. Amen. Even in that room there at Levine's Children's Hospital, God heard the cries of his children. Amen. And God sent a man in that room that morning. On that fifth week there in the NICU, he had endured 16 surgeries right back to back just to remove blood clots out of his lungs. And when those doctors said, there's no hope, there's no way, God showed up. And that little boy right back there woke up. That left lung healed up. That left lung is good to go. And all of them that said, there's no way, come to us about 1.5 weeks ago and said the God that you prayed to was the God that healed him. Was the God that healed him. Even those men aboard that ship that night that threw Jonah off the ship, the waters calmed down, everything was done. They thought Jonah was hopeless out there in the middle of the water. But God said, you ain't broken yet. You ain't done yet. I've still got something for you to do. Yeah, God's not done yet. God's not done with this camp meeting yet. God's not done with you, men of God, yet. When God says it's it, it's finished, then we're going home. But while we're still on this side of glory, God's given us a work to do. God's given us a job to do. And honey, you may be bent. You may be twisted up, but you're not broken.
Amen.
Get to God in your life. Let God have His way. And can I tell you this from experience? Quit running. Quit running. Because God's going to get you to the place where you can't run no more. And for me, it was for that little boy back there. But I thank God today that God had His way in my life and had His way in his life and for our family. Preacher, that's the message.